Our Bible reading this morning is from John chapter 8, verses 31. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 47. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say the truth will become you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God."
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can hear from your word now. We do pray for the encouragement that Scripture gives us. We pray that we might grow in faith. We pray that we might be able to truly identify ourselves as being your children in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we look at the sermon, those who head to Sunday school are free to go. Those who are watching live, if any of the children want to do a drawing of Emma being baptised with the words, "Welcome to the family," please do that at home. It's always, when you look at some of these passages of Scripture, you have to look back a little bit before you move forward, just the way it goes. And so I'm just going to touch on a number of things that Stephen preached on last week before I move forward and spend a bit of time looking at what it is to be a child of Abraham. So this morning we want to identify who are the real believers of Jesus. We want to identify who are the real believers of Jesus, or even you could ask yourself the question, am I a real believer of Jesus? We know that a lot of people, and certainly it happened in the New Testament, identified themselves as believers, but Jesus did not. And so we need to listen to the words of John chapter 8, because Jesus really helps us identify who we are in him, if we are really a believer of Jesus. We need to do that. It's good for us to do that, even if it can be somewhat uncomfortable. Many of us might hear the words, "I believe in God," from people around us. I believe in God. But we know from their actions, their attitudes, their morals, their language, that they are in fact not true believers of God at all. But Jesus brings it all far closer to home. Do you love me? Do you obey what I command? Do you follow in my teachings? Do you abide in my word? These are the things that Jesus reminds us of here today. Now, some people might look at a passage like this, the one that we're looking at, and think it's pretty blunt. We don't tend to talk with that kind of bluntness today. We might find it a bit uncomfortable, but Jesus certainly was very blunt in how he challenged, especially those who were the Pharisees and religious leaders. We often skirt around the issue, but Jesus was very blunt. But I want to say this, he did so in love. Not just being blunt for bluntness' sake. Jesus needed to challenge the Pharisees and religious leaders so that they would turn to him and really believe. He had to confront them with their sin of being in opposition to him, so they would truly believe in him. And so his bluntness is born out of love for them. He doesn't want them just to continue going on in their sin. This has always been a real challenge for me, for you. I'm sure when you talk to people who claim to be Christian, it's hard to be blunt but loving. It's hard to set forth the truth in a way that is kind of palatable. But Jesus did this in love. And just to say one more thing, that if someone asks you whether you are a Christian, you should never take offence at that. If you truly believe, you should never take offence at that. The Apostle Peter says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. So if someone's pretty blunt with you and says, are you really a Christian? Well, give them an answer. Never be ashamed of the hope that you have. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone is a true believer, you can have a honest dialogue with them. You can have a good conversation with them, and you can set forth your views, they can set forth theirs, and then you know that you really are brother and sister in Christ. So with that in mind, let us just go towards our text. So I just want to come up with, first of all, these three identifying marks, hallmarks of what it is to be a believer. I'm sure Stephen covered this far more fully than I am going to do this morning, last week. First of all, Jesus says, the first thing, a disciple of Jesus immerses himself in the Word of God. A disciple of Jesus immerses himself in the Word of God. In the NIV, it says, hold to. In Young's literal translation of the Bible, it says, remain in. In the ESV, it says, abide in the Word of God. We read there, so Jesus, in verse 31, said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You shouldn't be embarrassed, I think, if someone says to you, or says to me, Gerald, what are you reading in the Word at the moment? You should always have an answer for that. Because a Christian abides in the Word of God. I'm going to leave it at that. The second hallmark of a Christian life, of whether or not you are a real disciple of Jesus, is this: they have come to know the truth. In verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What does it mean to know the truth? I think it's really like this, just a real concise bit of teaching here. What is it to know the truth? It's to know that you're a sinner. That's the truth. It's to know that you need a saviour, and that saviour is Jesus. That is what the truth is, and it sets you free. You move out of slavery to sin and into the family of God. Do you know your sin? Have you come to the Saviour? Do you know that he died on the cross for you, your sins, all washed away? That is the truth. Firstly, what's the hallmark? Abide in the word. Secondly, that you know the truth about who you are, who Jesus is, and that you're part of his family. And the third hallmark is that you're not slaves but sons. Verse 35, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son or child belongs to it forever. Jesus says here, a slave has no permanent place in the family. Why is that? It's that they can be sold off to another master, isn't it? You're there, you're owned, especially in those days, but we know there's modern slavery, you're owned, and you do your work because that's what you were bought for. But it's not a secure place to be a slave. It's not a place anyone would want to be in. And you oppose that to a son, a daughter of the family. They can't be bought or sold. They belong. They have security. They have the assurance that they really are a member. Imagine if Levi or Emma didn't have that assurance that they were part of the family. Imagine if Martin and Nick said to Levi when he gets a bit older, we'll give you dinner once you do some vacuum cleaning. We'll give you clothes if you wash the car. I mean, these things don't come into our mind. You know, you're part of the family, even if you don't overly perform as a member of that family, even if you don't do a whole lot of things, you're still a child, you still get provided for, you still belong, you're still loved. That's what it is to be a member of a family. And as a Christian, it's there for us as well. When I think about this, I always think about the parable of the prodigal son, but I think about the older brother. So you know the story. The son goes and squanders all his father's wealth. He wakes up to himself. He returns to the father. He says, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father welcomes him back, puts his robes on him, gives him a ring, calls a feast. This son of mine who was lost has been found. That's a wonderful message. But then we think of the older brother in the story. He didn't come in. His father instead goes out to him, just as he kind of left the gate to go to the younger son when he saw him coming at a distance. And he goes to his son, and what does that older son say to him? It's really sad. He says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friend. Friends, but when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. All these years I've been slaving for you. So brothers and sisters, a slave does things out of obligation, necessity. But a son knows he's a part of God's family, or part of, well, just let's stick to that, part of God's family. And God will never let him go, never let her go. Secure forever. That is what it is to be part of a family. Now, if you don't understand these three things, then can you really know yourself to be a believer? What are these hallmarks? Abide in the word of God. Remain in the word of God. You love the word of God. The second thing is to understand what Jesus has done for them, that they're sinners who've met a saviour and he's accepted them on the basis of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The third thing, that you would know that you're a child of God and serve with joy. No insecurities. no doubt that you are one of his children, confidence, not because you're so good, but God has been good to you. Three hallmarks of the Christian life are in you, I. We just have to reflect on that to know if we really are a disciple of Jesus. Jesus is very blunt here, so I feel I can be as well. He's blunt here. And so we need to really reflect on these words for ourselves. The second thing I want to look at this morning is this thing called false assurance of salvation. A false assurance of salvation. So Jesus met the scribes, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and they said, "We are children of God because we are children of Abraham. We are biologically related to Abraham, and therefore we are secure in God." Abraham, their ancestor, who lived perhaps 1,800 years before this, they could trace back their lineage all the way to him, and because of that, they said they belonged to God. Now, to us, it's a, I think, in a New Testament sense, a kind of a strange thought that because of your heritage, your genes, your makeup, that would make you right with God. Hopefully, that would strike a discord with us, that we wouldn't think that's true. And yet, so many people we meet still claim, don't they, that they have some link to the Christian faith through a father, mother, grandparent, uncle, auntie, as if that somehow makes them right with God. I've talked to many a non-Christian who has said to me, "But my uncle was a warden in the Anglican Church." Well, it wouldn't be a priest, hey, we can't have a grandfather as a priest, but we'll make him a Greek Orthodox priest. So, my grandfather was a priest, my grandfather was ordained, a Presbyterian minister or so on. As if that somehow comes to you and that makes you right with God. It's just not possible in our sense. But they had this false assurance of salvation. In fact, they had a lot of false views about themselves. They said, we were never slaves. And you think, right, you were slaves in Egypt. You were slaves when the Babylonians took you into captivity. We're now slaves of the Romans. In fact, you enslaved each other at various times in your history against the will of God. A complete misunderstanding of the Word of God, so confident in their background rather than in their knowledge of God, their love for God, their love for Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus just challenges that, this false assurance of salvation. And Jesus is happy to run with this Abraham thing that they brought up. We are children of Abraham. And so he says, okay, how did Abraham receive the word of God? Many of us, we don't have time this morning, can look back into Genesis and know that Genesis 18, that three angels, three messengers from God came and visited Abraham. They told him things and Abraham received them. He offered them hospitality. He welcomed them into his home. And he says, "You're children of Abraham. Well, you say you are, but you have not welcomed me. Instead, you want to kill me." And as we know, as we've been reading through John, and if we touch the other Gospels, they're always conspiring how they could kill Jesus. We read this in verse 44. And these are really blunt words. So I don't think you and I could really say this very easily. He basically says, "You're not children of Abraham. Your father is the devil." That's pretty blunt. Verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe in me. They didn't welcome Jesus. They sought to, they conspired how they might kill him. Their father, Jesus says, is not Abraham, but the devil. Secondly, Jesus says this, that if they were a real child of Abraham, they would love him. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. To conspire to kill someone is the opposite of love. When you kill someone, you remove them from your life. People nowadays would be sent to jail for murdering people, but that doesn't mean that people don't kind of murder Jesus in the sense that they can become deaf to him. They can say, "You are dead to me," in regards to Jesus. "You are dead to me." I know that in some families, when there's been great disagreement, or even amongst former friends, people have said, "You are dead to me." In other words, "I don't even want to think about you anymore. You don't exist as far as I am concerned." That's what the Pharisees wanted to do in a physical way. What I just mentioned is what people want to do in a spiritual way. They want to remove Jesus. Jesus is dead to them. People who say, "I believe in God," would love Jesus. When people say to me, "I believe in God," I say to them, because I'm allowed to, I think, "Do you love Jesus?" Because if they don't know Jesus, they don't know the Father either. Thirdly, Jesus reminds them that a real child of Abraham loves to listen to him. Verse 47. "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." When Jesus uses the word "hear," the connotation is also listen, obey. Who are the real children of Abraham? They are people who are not deaf to the voice of Jesus. They hear the voice of Jesus. They love Jesus. Well, just as I conclude, I just wanted to say a few extra words in regard to Martin and Nick here in the church today with a baby that's perfectly quiet. Pretty good. I don't think Levi was ever that quiet, if I remember, to his baptism. So Martin and Nick, what's the best way to bring up your children in the name of the Lord? Because Emma's been baptised, God's made a claim on her and made promises to her, but what can you do? Well, I think what you need to do is first of all be Christian in every sense of the word. That Christianity is not just following the Ten Commandments or going to church regularly, but it's to be a real child of Abraham. It's to love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to know for yourself that you're not just a slave, but that you are a child of God in every sense of the word. It means to me that You immerse yourself too in the Word of God. You abide in the Word, hold to the Word, love the Word, love the voice of Jesus. I think that's such a wonderful model for Christians, parents that love Jesus Christ themselves, and it just comes out of them and it's conveyed to their children. As a church, we've given you two children's Bibles so far. This one's for when they get a bit older. But that's what immersing yourself in the Word is all about, isn't it? Not only that you read it for yourself, but you speak to your kids in a ways that they can understand about Jesus. I love the Deuteronomy 6 thing where we read there that Moses says to the people of Israel, as you walk along, as you drive the car, as you go on holidays, as you live life, that you share the Word of God with your children, that it's just not confined to a small part of your life, an after meal, before bed kind of thing, but that God's brought into every conversation, and what Jesus has done for you is alive in you. Jesus is alive to you. This is what I think it means to bring up children in the name of the Lord. Alive to you, Jesus, a love for his word, a desire to obey and to communicate that to our children. We don't want to bring up our children with the thought, we just have to go to church. We want to bring up with our children with the thought that what a privilege it is to go to church and be with God's people and hear the word and be part of the family of God. We want a real relationship, and we want to share that with our children so that they would be real children of Abraham. Amen.